Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Black Tie Moving has changed the mood in the city of Memphis. If you're moving in Memphis, out of Memphis, cross town, cross country, they can handle it for you. They can even pack. They'll even pack your stuff. That'll save some time, right? I mean, it's going to cost you more, but what a service that is. It means you really have to worry about nothing with Black Tie Moving. Call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. I've used them twice. If I ever move again, I'll use them again. It's that simple. The best in Memphis, Black Tie Moving, 316-6196, 316-6196. Everybody around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, so we have some games coming up this weekend. We didn't have any yesterday in terms of the local interest, but we did have a quote that I wanted to bring up with you that is getting a little bit of traction on social media, which is from Dylan Brooks. You remember him?
Yes.
Dylan Brooks was asked the last time that he wasn't confident by, a Suns media member or something. And he said the last time he wasn't confident was in the infamous playoff series against the Lakers when he was obviously with the Grizzlies, when he was, you know, hitting the side of the damn goal and airballing and just looking terrible. And he went on to add that Zach Kleiman told him to only shoot 6 shots, I guess, per game or
yes, per game, we're assuming. Maybe the entire series. That would have been appropriate as well. There's that Lakers series, remember?
But
he called out LeBron.
But, yeah, he said, I would say probably the series against the Lakers, I couldn't shoot the ball. The GM is telling me to only shoot 6 shots, not giving me the confidence I need, and you can feel that energy coming from front office and coaches. Never the players. The players want to win, but you feel that energy. Even if you're working and put in the time, it's not falling. Probably that was the last time. I cut that off from there. Then I had that little feeble run. All I kept doing was working to get back to where I was. You know, I will give him that. I mean, he did have that feeble run with Canada where he looked much better.
Feeble run.
You know, which I know nobody on this show respects FIBA basketball other than me. I do.
I respect what he did in that Utah series. We lost it, but he was averaged over 20 points.
You talking about in the COVID year?
Back in the day.
Golly, man.
He was the Robin.
Yeah.
Him and Ja.
Well, I mean,
don't you understand how you would feel?
Yeah.
If you went from that to the fourth option and he's telling you to take 6 shots? And that's what he needed to take at that point, unfortunately. What you needed Dylan for was to be 3-and-D and just that. But he had been a guy who had shots. Had been a second option. And so it had and it reached a point where he was no longer walking the company line or whatever, talking the company line, whatever else, going out, challenging LeBron, basically, you know, putting an X on your back. He wasn't playing the game anymore. So you had to move on.
Right.
But, you know, I always had respect for Dylan. Clearly, you can point to the edge that's been gone, you know, lost since you moved on. You thought you were getting Marcus Smart. You ended up not getting it. But it was time.
Yes,
and
it was time.
And even looking back, you don't change history.
And by the way,
always going to be time.
He was, if Zach Kleiman told him to only shoot 6 shots a game, that man did not listen, because he shot 13 in game one, 14 in game two, 13 in game three, 11 in game four, 15 in game five, and then 11 in game six. And he shot 31% for the series. So
that and 23.8 from three.
It was, I mean, two years have passed, Jeff
asked me this morning. I think there's probably truth to it. Zach Kleiman probably did tell him. That's what we were saying at that point.
He shut up.
He had to be efficient with less. He didn't want to be that. And frankly, he was going against the game plan if he'd taken all those shots again.
And, right. And that's when we got
the
infamous quote that said, Dylan Brooks will not be brought back under any circumstances.
Right. He had crossed the franchise, the organization.
Yeah, because he was told to only shoot six shots.
That and publicly calling out LeBron, you're getting yourself your booty spanked, getting the whole team. And then he's bowing out. He's leaving out of the locker room, not even coming back and talking after taking the L's.
Yeah.
You know, leave Jaren and Bane in there to do it. I think Ja dipped out too, I want to tell you.
Yeah, he had Zach Kleiman told him to shoot six shots. And
I believe it.
Dylan Brooks was like, don't make me hot. I'ma shoot 50 shots. Somebody done made me hot.
See, again, it kind of points to an issue of an inability of this front office to sort of grow its in this case homegrown guys, right, and keep them accountable, find a way to hold them accountable. And maybe it goes back to Kleiman and his ability to do that, right?
Yeah.
He is a young GM.
Yeah, he is.
And at some point you do have to be able to do that.
Yep.
And if maybe we're seeing that now with Ja, obviously, in this situation with Isolo, where you have to call him out at what happened against LA, but yeah, what are you going to do? Just let it roll and let the rest of the roster think that you're not going to hold anybody accountable. You were forced in that position. But back to it, I mean, it sort of speaks to that.
Right.
You have to grow these guys up too.
You know, there's some people on the on social who are falling for the okie doke. But like, bro, there is absolutely no way that was reconcilable after that series. No. Like there was just no way. Like
But what it shows you is, and I don't think this has been as much talked, is how hurt Dylan Brooks was by having to leave Memphis, right? The fact this is two teams removed now,
yes.
And he's just asked this regular random question about when his confidence has been low. He could have said something, nothing. I never. Jeff said it. My confidence is never low. I'm Dylan Brooks. That'd been an answer we expect. He decides to go back to the LA series where Zach probably did come to him.
Yep.
Probably first time in his life. Since Oregon, somebody had come to him and said, take that few shots. Remember?
The great Dana Altman.
Bro, he's shooting 20-something percent from three. What should they have told him exactly? And he still comes out there, to your point, shoots 13 in one of them.
Man, he was
crazy, man.
Rebelling.
He was rebelling. He was asking to be kicked out. But what you see is how much he's still hurt by getting to that point. And again, I go back to John pointing to the way he grew up, what he had meant to Memphis, what he had been, and what you were asking him to be. There was a resentment in that. There was a resentment in him that caused him to, go on the rants, go against company line.
Well, I mean, it's honestly there are some things that happen in sports that you can't apply to the real world in your daily life. Like if you have a role at like 92.9, right? Like for example, like you're a host right now, right?
I think so.
You're a fantastic host. But if one day Brad came to you, right, your manager, and he says, hey, man, you're doing 3 hours, as a host. I need you to do, like, two, and I need you to be a producer. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. I was a host. I was a host for, 9 years. Now you're asking me to be a producer, and you're asking me to – nothing wrong with being a producer, but it's like, that's not the role that I know. That's not the role that I've ever been in. And so I think, once you
anybody who's been demoted.
Exactly right. I mean,
remember
when Noel Keelan got demoted to player personnel, from assistant coach? I mean,
very much so. He was done wrong.
Right.
In that instance, he'd been promised one thing and then got another once Tubby got here.
Most people who get demoted.
The promise came from Tom Bowen. Want to make sure we got that straight. Then Tubby said, I'm not a promise assistant.
But most people who get demoted or have to take pay cuts in the real world or whatever, they end up quitting that job. I mean, that's the way it goes. Like, you don't usually stay there. You usually say, all right, well, this place doesn't value me or whatever the case may be, and I'm going to find a different, look. So.
And Dylan was basically quitting.
Exactly. And
because he felt hurt.
I don't really necessarily blame anybody in that situation. Like, I don't blame the Grizzlies for going to him and saying, hey, man, you don't have it. So you should probably stop acting like you have it. And I don't blame Dylan for like, man, I was with this franchise when we took off to get here, and
right.
I was a certain piece of it.
I mean, he was part of the 1-2. It was a 1-2.
Yeah.
It really was.
I mean, yeah.
Because, again, Jaren wasn't scoring like that early.
No.
Remember, Jaren had injury issues early.
Yes.
It was Ja and Bang Bang, Ja and Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Utah series.
Mm-hmm. So, it's just, I understand why he feels some type of way about it still. It's probably something that motivates him,
Yeah.
I mean, we all need things like that.
There's a part of me that misses him because of the edge that you don't have right now that he brought every single night. There's no need to revisit it and saying he should still be here, though.
Yeah,
it had run its course.
What came with that edge, right? Mm-hmm. We know what came with
that. A guy who was going to do what he wanted to do.
Inefficiency,
was crossing the front office, yes.
And everything runs its course at some point.
Right. What I'm saying is I hope we're not here with Ja. But if you want to apply it to now, let's hope we're not here with Ja. But you're seeing some of that same activity.
That's exactly right.
There's no question about it.
Yep. So, anyway, again, I don't miss Dylan. I also don't resent Dylan. I don't blame him for feeling a certain type of way. And I don't, sometimes there's no guilty party. Sometimes it just is business.
I want him to find a peace in the fact that he's getting so many shots with Phoenix and getting a chance to sort of be that. No, seriously, that he's moved back up the priority list, the pecking order for an organization.
Yeah.
Because in many ways, Dylan had earned that with what he had become for you. To that point, when you asked him, all right, well, that's enough. Your numbers have dipped, especially shooting wise. Now Jaren's stepped up. He's the two. We've brought Desmond Bane in here. Let's be real. I mean, that's really what pushed him down the, pushed him down the pecking order. But so I'm happy that he's getting that. He needs to find a piece in that.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's amazing.
But let's be real. These were the most relevant times he had.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could look at his time in Houston and say, well,
I mean, dude, he shot 40% last year from three.
He got free, man. He got free. Stop,
Yeah, his best year was 21-22, though. It's full year. When he had 18.4 points a game, but only shot 31% from three. Right now he's shooting 33% from three, but he's averaging a career high 20.3. So he's just
a lot of that was with Jalen Green out though, and he was getting the shots.
Well, Jalen's out for a while now, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be more.
How much longer is he out?
I thought that he's going to be really evaluated in.
I did not see the reevaluation news.
Yeah, I think there was a. Yeah, there's another injury, hamstring out 4 to 6 weeks. So it's going to be the Dylan Brooks show.
We say, ugh, we need him to lose, but seems like they're pretty good without Jalen Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
No. They won five in a row.
Well, dude, we said this before the season started, that roster was not nearly as bad as we needed it to be. With Devin Booker and Dunn.
Right,
and
before the season started, look here. We're going down the roster.
Malawach, and they got a bunch of, decent. They're not going to be good, but they're not going to be embarrassingly bad like the Wizards or the Pelicans.
They may not be a lottery team is what we're saying. They could be in the play-in and in the playoffs.
Yeah. That would really hurt.
It would.
That would.
We discussed it with Drew yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like we'll see over the course of a season, right?
See, Drew's point, and you look at those bad West teams. There's a lot. There's some wins in there for a Phoenix. And frankly, just by default, somebody's got to be over them. And so, if you're over them, good chance you're in the play-in. I mean, Phoenix could be the 8 seed. Yeah. Devin Booker just go on one.
Yeah, you're right. They are. It's
possible.
It's all on the table. And again, we're 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the season, but I would much rather see them look like the Pacers than what they're looking like right now. But anyway, Dylan Brooks had some interesting comments yesterday, and if Zach Kleiman told him to shoot only six shots, he certainly did not listen.
A team with the best record in the NFL is the New England Patriots. Look like they're going to be AFC East champions. Now, we're just looking at the race right now, the fact that they have a win over the Bills already, and the fact that they continue to play well, yes, against a bad team last night, but got it done 27-14 against the Jets. Many are saying that Drake May has strengthened his position as MVP right now. Again, this Patriots team ain't just ahead of schedule. It's got folks playing at an MVP level in Drake May. He was pretty solid. I got him in fantasy. It wasn't one of his huge games, but 25 of 34 for 281 yards, a touchdown. The key is zero interceptions. It's when the Patriots have turned the ball over that they've shot themselves in the foot this season, and that has been an issue, but there was no Ramondre Stevenson. Oh, I think he even has two fumbles in one game this year. But more than that on the season. They've got Trevion Henderson right now. And that was the other part about last night. Boy, did he break out three touchdowns for him, two rushing, one receiving, and they seem to be making the sort of the transition from Ramondre to Travion, who we always felt like, even in the preseason, you saw him run a kickback, I think, coming out of, Ohio State, always felt like he was going to be an absolute stud, and he seems to now have gained that confidence. They're opening up better holes for him. Patriots are an impressive story, and I think it starts with Mike Vrabel, who we've all admired here since his time in Tennessee. Thought he was done wrong there, probably, for what he had been given. Always asking to do more with less. Lord knows that's how that franchise does business. And was a one seed at one point with those Tennessee Titans. And again, figured that he at some point would get, you know, New England back to a point where they were not just competitive, but at a ready to compete in the division level. He's done it ahead of schedule. So you have to give the credit at first to him, you know, certainly to start with him. And then, I mean, Drake May, second season. You know, between him and Caleb, and clearly I would Drake May ahead of Caleb. Don't get me wrong here. Those two guys shining in their second years. Jaden had his in the first year.
Yep.
You know, he's dealing with injuries and everything else in year two. But, boy, you talk about 1-2-3 right there, right?
Yeah.
What? I mean, look at what you're getting from them now. A lot of it, I think, Caleb could have gone a bad way.
Yep.
I'm going to give a lot of that credit to Ben Johnson coming in.
Yes.
And trying to pull, you know, a good quarterback out of Caleb. There was some good clay there.
Yep.
And hopefully it's happening. But with Drake, it's here. It's MVP level already. It's impressive.
Yeah, it is, man. I mean, it goes to show you the power of a coach. I mean, Drake was a top three pick, so it's not like, you know, You're turning a scrub into this, but this dude is now the favorite.
No, good call. Power of the coach. Mike Vrabel coming there, you know.
Yeah.
First off, it's going to get you a culture.
Yep.
So you're not going to have anybody in there half, you know, when, you know, anybody mm-hmm. in there that shouldn't be there. And then how about Diggs?
Yeah.
Again.
Yep. Diggs has been, you know, he did this for Josh Allen.
Which is crazy. This yeah. You're like two lifetimes, you know, it seemed like two lifetimes ago.
Yeah, it does.
When he was that player helping Josh Allen. You know, go from his interception turnover ways to, yep. you know, sort of a back. Basically, he wasn't accurate back then. Stephon Diggs helped him with that. I mean, and now he's doing it for this young QB. It's crazy. It's a credit to him as a player because I thought he was done
yep.
just as a professional, just in terms of adding, you know, a value to a team. And clearly he helped grow up Josh Allen. Now he's doing it for Drake May. It's impressive.
Yes, it is. So that's definitely been.
Yeah, that's the word I keep using about the Patriots, probably overused. Impressive, but that's what it's been. Can't believe they're already here.
Yeah, we're in kind of like the, you know, the grind of the NFL season now where it's like, all right, it's not new anymore. So, you know, the excitement has worn off a little bit. You know, now we're trying to figure out, all right, who's real for the playoffs, you know, and who's not. You know, we do have some interesting games this weekend.
Yes, yes, we do.
Seahawks, Rams, both 7-2 teams. That'll be a fun one.
Talk about somebody playing MVP level. That's your two guys, Stafford and Drake May.
We got KC, Denver in the AFC West. Then we've got Philly Lions on Sunday Night Football. So there's some decent games this weekend. But you have a lot of Bills, Bucks, 6-3 teams there. That'll be a fun inter-conference matchup.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jameis Winston out there taking down the Cheeseheads. I know that sounds random.
Yeah.
Do you see how he's inspiring these little boys?
He's inspiring them.
That's a man who just loves to play the opportunity now.
Now, why he got to inspire little boys, man? I mean.
Because he don't inspire grown men.
Okay. I think he inspires some grown men.
I don't know if he inspires them. You're going to have a fun time.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be trying to eat a W. Everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
But you know you can't win a Super Bowl with him. Can he see?
Yeah.
I guess they got the contacts in now. Remember when Arians, he could not see through like, what, 30 interceptions?
Yeah. Jameis is like.
He's so much fun.
Jameis is like the relative that, you know, comes into town and you really are going to enjoy them being there for a weekend, right? You're going to have fun. You're going to throw some drinks back. You're going to party. You're going to be like, you know, yeah, this is great.
Are you drinking?
Oh, yeah, you're drinking.
Jameis is drinking?
James definitely he's drinking.
I see. I'm sensing he's more partying. Of a spiritual vibe with him. Where
well, okay, maybe not him.
He's just high on the Holy Spirit.
We don't even have to be drinking. We could just be, you know, he's bringing good vibes. He's bringing like energy and things like that.
Yes,
he's there for. But then you're ready Cracking for jokes. Him. You're ready for him to leave by the next weekend. He's worn out his welcome. It's too much. You know, that's Jameis.
I don't know, man. He's a different dude, man.
You, I mean, that's just what happens. Like, he comes in the first game, he's awesome, everybody's having fun, and then you realize
that part on
his
the competitive
limitations
side,
are,
he's
just
throw some picks,
and then you're ready for him to leave again.
You're saying as a front office and as an organization,
he's a great like 1 week shock to the system, you know, and then Jackson, you ready to get back in there? Yeah.
You know? If he can answer.
I mean, Jameis.
Jackson's taken so many hits this year.
Dude, Jameis threw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the same season.
5,000 yards, too, I believe that.
Yes.
Year. Something
I mean,
outrageous.
What an absolute.
And he couldn't see.
What
that's
a
what's amazing.
Miraculous.
He did
year.
It on faith.
He did it on faith.
And that's what I'm telling you. To me, he embodies just the gratefulness of living each second.
Yeah.
You know? Getting a chance to walk above ground.
Not taking it for granted.
Not taking it. That's what I'm saying. Just a gratefulness about being alive.
And honestly.
Now, it won't get you to the Super Bowl.
Well, it speaks to the unpredictability, right, of life. Like you could, the next pass of life, right, that you throw could be a touchdown or it could be a pick six. You just truly don't know.
Let me tell you something. If you let Jameis Winston talk to Dominic right now.
Yeah.
Dominic would remember it for the rest of his life. He won't remember Disney.
Right.
But he will remember that interaction with Jameis because Jameis will pour into him.
Yeah, he will.
In a way that just stops Dominic in his tracks.
He will inspire my little boy.
Yeah. You know it too.
Oh, I know it, yeah.
And there's something to be said about that power.
No, there is. He's a.
I don't know if it's going to beat the Cheeseheads this weekend.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not.
No, they have to have this game.
And the problem is there's no Scataboo out there anymore.
I think we're more so talking about Jameis post playing career,
yes,
right?
I'm talking about what his life as an
he could,
uplifter.
He could be an analyst. He could be a coach. He could be, you know.
I'd be interested to hear his. I'd be worried about everybody's good. With Jameis Winston,
you're right.
You know, I'm in on the analyst work.
He probably would be that way.
I want Jameis. You know what he is? He's one of those guys you hire. One of the speakers,
right?
What are you talking about? He could go around
like
the country.
Like Inky Johnson,
yeah.
Yes,
keynote.
Yeah. What are we? Not just keynote. What's that? They lift you up. But yes,
motivational
speaker. That's very why good. I have a partner who completes me when I can't find the words, and they seem so obvious.
Right.
They're right there before me. John grabs them for me. That's it. Wouldn't he be perfect?
Oh,
this
yeah.
dude could stay paid for the rest of his life as a motivational speaker.
Yes, like Helen Hunt.
That's what he will be.
Helen Hunt is coming.
He'll be at the Le Bonheur event on Monday.
I saw
Methodist Healthcare.
I saw that, and it stopped me in my tracks.
Really?
Like Dominic would have been with Jameis. I did, because I'm
80s.
A big Helen Hunt fan. Folks don't know it.
Come on, Jason.
Well, did you RSVP, brother?
No, but when I saw it, I said, do I want to go see Helen
Do you need
Hunt?
Us to hold it
I
down like, and you I go to the luncheon on Monday?
I seriously considered it. I said, this is the time.
Reach out to Laura Hoffman. We're a sponsor.
Mean, here's what I would say, brother. You're never going to have another opportunity to see Helen Hunt in Memphis for free ever again. So if you want to go see Helen Hunt, man, you need to go see Helen Hunt. You have my blessing to miss the show on
now,
Monday.
Am I right? She was Tom Hanks's woman in the movie where he gets stuck on the island. Go.
Castaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a little later
she
for
kept
your
him
movie
alive.
Filmography.
But that's how much I admired her. Yeah. I continue to follow her career into the 90s.
I think that's the
into
latest
the 2000s,
pool we've gotten from James
into
on
the
this 2000s. Show. 2000.
That's how good Helen Hunt is.
Yes.
So I so respect her work, and I still hate the fact that she married. You know, that she didn't wait on Tom. Mm.
Right.
It
right,
still
right.
hurts me.
Yeah.
She was
so good in that.
You know, really Helen Hunt is an inspiration, actually. You know, much like Jameis, because her whole thing post career has been pushing back on the beauty standards of Hollywood.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
know that about it. I hadn't followed her post career.
Yeah, her whole thing is like it's just not a healthy way to live. It's not a you know, good way to live, and that there's more to life than just how you look.
Amen.
You know. And so I think, you know, she has a very important cause, and I don't know if that's going to touch you or reach you.
Not really.
But
I mean, again, great cause.
Yeah.
I've just always been touched by her career.
But yeah, like if you know.
She's up there now, huh? 62.
62, yeah.
62, yeah. Which, I mean, is that up there? That feels like a good age. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the less old that feels. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's relatively young for today, 2025 standards, with people living older now.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, there's a guy on there, there's a Netflix documentary, I'm surprised you haven't brought it up, but he's trying to live forever. His name's Brian Johnson. He's like doing all these, you know, therapies and things like that. Whereas his, he believes that the human can live forever and be immortal. Mm. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I mean, I do think, like, I don't, immortal is a strong word, but, you know, I think we'll as a human race, I think in some time, I don't know if that'll be today, tomorrow, 10, 20, 30, 50, 80, will our lifespans will increase. Like, I mean, think about the Victorian child that was that would die of the flu, right? I mean, that's,
right.
You know, you don't do that anymore. You don't die of the flu. You know, you survive the flu now. We don't have the, you know, bubonic plague. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have I believe the measles have made a return in a strong way. But
why is that, John?
I don't know that we need to dive into it.
John, why would that be?
Is it backed by popular demand? I think
a little renaissance
is what we would say, but I do think, like, generally speaking, we you know, right now, if the average, you know, American lifespan is 80, I think in 50 years it could be 95. Like, I mean, we're gonna advance, we're gonna find therapeutics, we're gonna probably cure cancers. I would say, you know, eventually at some point with the way science advances, I mean, I'm hopeful for that, right? I'm hopeful that my kids will be able to live to, you know, 350 years old, man. If they wish, you know, so
Helen Hunt started that, huh?
Helen Hunt said it doesn't matter what you look like anymore. Yeah. You know, it's not the most important thing. And yes, Jameis Winston can someday come to Memphis and speak at Le Bonheur.
And this was an NFL segment.
It was an NFL segment, but it
hijacked by John.
And it still is. It was not hacked by me.
It started with
it
the
was
actual
hijacked
game.
By Helen Hunt.
Okay.
And her cause and her cleats.
Winston had no chance this weekend, by the way. The Packers must win.
I can't say no chance.
Must win.
Packers have lost to Cleveland and Carolina.
Yes.
So
must win.
I'm just saying they're capable of losing to teams you
I
think
know.
They shouldn't.
That's why it's like scary a little bit.
Yes.
A little heat on LaFleur, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps.
And they're all in now.
Yes, perhaps so. All right. Last night in college basketball was a banger of a game, and it does have some relevance to the University of Memphis because Purdue, who they will play in less than a week, goes into Tuscaloosa and wins outright as a 3-point underdog, 87-80 in Tuscaloosa. This, of course, was right after Alabama had beaten St. John's in Madison Square Garden. People were calling it the win of the year on the road at St. John's. And I mean, I got to tell you, man, Memphis is going to have its work cut out for them next week. I know they got a game on Sunday, and they'll be big favorites in that one.
I saw it all over social media.
But
Memphis has no chance. 30-point loss.
I mean, 30-point loss is doing a lot. But, I mean, Braden Smith is, I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, they're All-American point guard. And then, this is what you're supposed to do, right? This is what you're supposed to do as an All-American. They are returning two All-Americans. I believe they're the only team in the country that's doing that. And one of them is a point guard. That's an insane luxury. It's an insane luxury to have because he's the brain behind the operation. So it's Braden Smith, who had 29-7 last night. And it's like, you know, the difference in college basketball when you have an All-American returning point guard is that when it's a two-point game and it's less than a minute, he can take that shot clock down to 2 seconds, not freak out, not panic. And what happened? He drew a foul, got to the free throw line, iced it at the free throw line, right? That's the difference. Trey Kaufman Wren, the big man for Purdue last night, first game of the season, he had been dealing with a hip injury. That dude was out there looking like Kareem, all right? 19 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. They're big. That's the problem, right? They have two bigs out there in Kaufman, Wren, and Clough that, I mean, just for Memphis, it's going to give them a world of problems. That's the thing. It's like, I actually, like, their guard play is not great. Like, CJ Cox, Fletcher Lawyer, Memphis can handle that. Braden Smith's going to do that against pretty much every team he plays as the point guard. The issue for Memphis is, like, how are they going to guard that front court? How are they going to overcome the size and physicality discrepancy that Purdue is inevitably going to throw at them? I don't know the answer.
They're not.
Yeah, right. They're not, man. They're not. So that just is what it is. They also bring a footer off the bench in Daniel Jacobson. I mean, they're a hell of a team, this Purdue. I mean, you go into Tuscaloosa It's not the best home court advantage in college basketball by any stretch of the imagination. We know because Memphis has played there, and they were right in that game. But it was still impressive. They were underdogs in this game, and they go in there, and they show why, you know, they're one of the two best teams in the country at this moment. So 87-80 was your final. It was on ESPN2 last night because Monday Night Football was going on, obviously. But any other night, it would have been, you know, it would have been the main feature. So fantastic game, and I love this series. I love that it's getting played. You know, I mean, if any teams in America like did not have to play this game, it would be these two, right? I mean, Purdue's in the Big Ten, Alabama's in the SEC, but Nate Oates always wants the smoke, and Matt Painter, a credit to him too. You think about this Bahamas field.
Yes, next week. Let's go.
They stand out, right? I mean, they don't have to play in anything like that. They could just say, "Hey, we're good. We'll play the Big Ten schedule. We'll play Alabama, whatever." But they're in it, and it'll be an opportunity. It'll be a shot for Memphis. It'll be a swing. That's what it'll be.
Literally a free swing.
But it's
nobody. I mean, everybody knew once you got them in the draw, and you found out that you were the sacrifice.
Absolutely.
And probably needed to be that what we were up against here, and that it was a circled loss.
Yes, exactly.
So you just go out there and see what you can get accomplished against one of the best teams in America.
I mean, the goal is just to come out of that 1-1, right? I mean, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, and learn something about yourself, particularly inside.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what would be nice to know.
Yes.
You know, what you can do against literally championship-level competition and what you can't. So that, one, you know, by the time you play some of these other more important non-con games, you're ready to deploy that.
Yes.
You know, what worked against Purdue, if anything.
Purdue out-rebounded Alabama 48-23. It was just a domination on the glass. I will say this, though. Alabama, and I love what Nate Oates has done, and I know you do too, but, man, they have truly bastardized the three-point shot on that team in a way that I don't even think is necessarily beneficial. Like the threes they take are, I mean, they can make them. They were 16-44 last night. That's 36%. It's not bad. But when every single shot you take is a three, like you're opening yourself up to just insane variance. And it kind of cost them last night because in the end, when you're, you know, in the first half and you still have 20 minutes of gameplay, like you'll let those fly. But if that's what you do, then you get into the last 2 minutes of a game, you're kind of scared to let those fly now. So now you're like, oh, well, damn, you know, our identity is three, but, you know, it's a one possession game and a three is not, is a lower percentage. So I don't know. It you know, LeBaron Filon struggled last night. Aiden Holloway had most of his points in the first half. Like, it's just a hard way to live when you depend on the three the way they do. And they don't shy away from it. Like, they're not embarrassed by it. Like, everybody on their team can make a three. But I don't know. It's just like how they get the shot sometimes, where it's like you're forcing this. You know, you don't have to take every shot as a three. Like, if you get in rhythm, whatever. But, you know, take the layup if you get one. Anyway, Purdue gets the win on the road. Very impressive. 87-80 was your final last night in Tuscaloosa.
This is probably not going to matter much to Grizzlies fans, but I find it very interesting, and I think it does. Maybe I'm doing it just a little bit because I think I thought I saw this coming. But why would the Atlanta Hawks ever bring back Trae Young when you've got this dude named Jalen Johnson turning into a star before your eyes? John and I talked about Jalen Johnson. Remember his weird year at Duke? How he went into there as the five-star guy and whatever? Actually started with a monster game, but ended up only playing 13 games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the time you got to the draft, he didn't nearly have the star power in terms of our attention in the way that he did when he got to Duke.
Yep.
It was weird. This dude had 31, 18, and 14 last night, also seven steals. I'm going to repeat that. He had 31 points, 18 rebounds, four assists, and seven steals for the Hawks. And a, yes, win over the Jazz, you'd say dregs of the league. But if you look at the Hawks right now, they're 8-5. They've won four straight. Last night they made 24 three-pointers. Now, they're not going to do that every night. That's the most by an NBA team this season. Okongwu, by the way, hit eight of those. But they got something cooking, is my point, without Trae Young, who, remember, they did not give the extension to.
Mm-hmm.
I went and looked. They're now 6-2 without Trae Young, in addition to the four straight wins. They were 2-3 without him. Why would you bring him back? Apparently, Trae and the owner have a great relationship. Mm. Now, it ain't so great that he went ahead and gave him the extension.
Right.
Atlanta didn't do it.
Right.
You know, they got to the deadline, wasn't done. Trey had talked about it all preseason, how he'd like to have gotten in and wanted to be locked into Atlanta, loves Atlanta, everything else. I'm talking to the Atlanta front office. Do not allow this good play that's happening right now to convince you that when Trey gets back to it, he's going to lift it up and now all of a sudden you're a champion. He will detract. You've been good when he's gone. Now, we used to falsely talk about this when Ja was gone, right? And you'd have Tyus Jones and, oh, Grizz are better. And frankly, it went on for too long. This is one where you are better without Trae Young. Keep in mind, too, no matter what happens with whatever you get back for Trae Young, because trading him is going to be difficult, I would imagine. Word's kind of out on Trae Young that you don't know if he helps winning.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks also have New Orleans' pick. It's unprotected. Right now, the New Orleans Pelicans are 2-9. Remember, that was for it's Derek Queen that the Pelicans wanted.
Yep.
And they give these folks they gave the Hawks an unprotected first-round pick. Pelicans are trash. So the Hawks, while right now are in the thick of things in the East, are also going to have maybe a number one pick. And John, more importantly, a shot at one of those top three dudes we've been discussing.
Yep.
Peterson, Dibonsta, or Cam Boozer. You got a future without Trae Young. It's right there waiting for you to grab a hold of it. And a lot of it, I would say the even more reason to go down that road is this dude, Jalen Johnson, man. This dude, nobody's talking about it outside of, you know, probably Atlanta and the folks in the NBA who are just all in every night and seeing these numbers. But his game is one that you can sort of, I think, build a franchise and a team around and a roster around.
Yeah.
That dude is a stud.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he maybe maturity was the issue and right. It's like clicked in for him now. But that dude is Jalen Johnson, man. Get to know the name now.
Yeah.
This dude's putting up numbers, and it's going to be for hopefully a better sort of built Hawks organization going forward after they've moved on from Trae Young, which I predicted they would.
Right. No,
so I'm kind of coming here saying, this is my evidence you should trade Trae Young. I think it's a pretty good case.
Yes, yes. I do think they're leaving themselves that opportunity to trade Trae. There's no doubt about that.
6-2 without him, man.
Yep.
They've moved on. They got defense.
Yes.
You know, the boy, Daniels, what's his name, Dyson?
Yes, I was talking to somebody about that actually randomly this week, and they said that the identity changes without Trae because it's the defense, right?
Yes.
And the point that this person made to me was you can see how they're forming that new identity with Daniels handling the ball more.
Yes.
With the big wings and the switchable bigs and, you know, I think Trae and Ja are kind of in the same boat in that what are you really going to get for each of them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think your value will be – but I think if you're the Hawks, it's easier because you're like, hey, we're just going to this new identity.
100%. You know? And you've got New Orleans' pick.
Right.
There is a huge asset.
Yes.
Which makes it, you know, in terms of what you get back for Trae,
that feels easy, right? Like the off-ramp with Trae Young, like, hey – let's trade him to somebody that just wants, you know,
That haul will be nothing, and they will be fine with it, comparatively speaking, because like you said, you always are going to get less. Yes. You're not going to get a star player. You'll get picks, but it won't be anything you have to depend on. Hell, you'll have the huge pick.
Right.
With New Orleans. Could be the number one pick.
Well, and you just have that sell job to your fans. You're like, hey, listen, we're going to embrace a new identity. We're going to go defense first. We're going to have Jalen Johnson and Kong Wu and Dyson Daniels, and we're going to use these picks to supplement that, and we're going to be right back in this thing.
Yep.
You know, we feel like we topped out with Trae Young, and I would imagine, I'm not on Atlanta radio, but I'd imagine that fans on there are probably sick of his stuff, too.
I don't know. He seems to have a connection to the community, but
maybe.
He doesn't contribute to winning.
Exactly, and you know that now.
Mess with the ref last, you know, the stuff throwing the
ball. Really, it's
just not.
You know, the arc is not all that different because they got to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2021, and
well, that's what committed them to him,
yeah.
Right? That
and
what I think is an outlier run,
back.
And he kills you. What you've said defensively,
yeah.
That's where he's just a hollow shell. He's going to give you nothing.
I think you know, and Atlanta's like, listen, bro. You know, we just know what we'll be after Trae Young. I think the problem with the Grizzlies is like that view is much more foggy. It's like, what will they be? After, like you open up the trap door a little bit, like it could be a lot. They could be bad for a long time.
Well, Jalen Johnson could be your box office guy, literally. Could be growing into that. That's my point. Is you don't have that in Jaren Jackson Jr. That's the issue. You have a whole new team and maybe a new guy to build it around with the Hawks right there, that's trading Trey. You don't have that here if you trade Ja.
Yep, exactly.
You can look at Cedric Howard and say, man, I hope he becomes that and everything else, but there's not that on there. So it's different in that way.
But yes.
You're more desperate, unfortunately.
When Trey Young got hurt, the Atlanta offense was about 10 points better with him on the floor than with him off. Now the offense rating is basically the same. Now that they've kind of figured it out, and the defense,
and we already know the defense going
significantly
go up.
Better.
And we're sitting here hoping that Phoenix pick is going to be something good. These folks got New Orleans pick,
right?
Like they, woo.
I mean, they could.
And the
they
East
could
is wide. Let's be real. East is kind of wide open,
dude. New Orleans Knicks could wind up with AJ DeBanta or Darren Peterson.
That's what I'm telling, dude. The Hawks will.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Hawks, yes.
It is their pick.
Like they could wind up with that.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. One of the top three dudes.
That's pretty.
Adding
nuts.
This to what they have, pretty man. Nuts. Ship Trey out of here as soon as you can.
Well, you got
to
find a taker, simple. But.
But you don't. It doesn't have to be a big haul. So there likely will be a taker because what they'll say is, well, Trey will put some butts in seats in Washington or something.
It'll be one of those franchises.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
And that's where he does. That's what. I shouldn't say he's earned, but let's be real. That's the kind of boat he's put himself into.
It is. But that's coming. That is absolutely
They'd be
coming.
Silly to bring him back and give him an extension when they got this monster and Jalen Johnson to build around right in front of their eyes.
Yeah. All right. We will come back. Lots more to cover on the show. Parthi Pandya is going to join us in the third hour. We'll talk to him about this Memphis basketball team, his expectations, and more. Stick around. J&J, 99.5 ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. If you are thinking about listing your home, I'm not going to lie to you, man. Like, I'm looking at a house that's near me, and it's been for sale, and it's been for sale, and it's been for sale, and it's been for sale. And that thing's sitting, bro. It's just sitting. I'm like, y'all ever going to sell it?
I know what you mean.
And you know what the sign in the front doesn't say? It doesn't say Live Love Group. Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna listen one day, because I have a very, very good feeling that if that home had been listed by the Live Love Group, it would not be still sitting. They get results. Go with the team at the Live Love Group. Jennifer and her team are the absolute best. You'll love dealing with them. They are so knowledgeable about the market and the conditions. They've seen it all, done it all. Reach out, SoToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
See the same thing over there in Cordova. And I've told you about that tear that drops every time I go past that home that's been on the market forever. They got the wrong sign in the yard, as John said. He's so right. He usually is. 901-625-5200 is the number you call to get in touch with Jennifer Carstensen and her wonderful team. They speak many languages. That is not hyperbole. Spanish, Mandarin, they do it all. Call them up, 901-625-5200. Again, whether it's on the selling or buying side, Jennifer Carstensen is going to put you in a great situation. It's Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Yeah, dude, they've had to drop. I'm looking at this home right now. They've had to drop this price like four times. That's I'm like, man, story. Y'all killing me, man. Y'all killing me
if
with
they
this.
They priced it right from the get-go.
Right. I mean, that's what it is. It's never. That's the old saying. It's like, there's nothing wrong with the house. It's just the price, right? Like, it's just, you know, it's just that's the way it is. So we'll buy anything if the price is right. In this economy, you know, it is the American consumerism economy. So, anyway, I'll keep you updated on this house. Should have gone.
Inventory's lowering.
Is it?
That's what they say.
Okay.
It has to be at some point, right? At some point, it always does.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I'd imagine
we're going to 50-year mortgages, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Huh?
It's a great idea.
No,
you pay
no,
you,
no,
you'll pay
no.
$3 billion in interest.
Brad just got his paid off. So you don't want to think about that again.
Congrats, man.
Good job.
That's on your
I wish. But there are. That's why you got to be careful when you're joking on here, because there are people that like eating.
Don't joke.
No. Like on the 50-year mortgage thing. Like there, we got listeners that are like,
careful.
Give me one of them 50-year.
Well, look, I can't help them. I mean, I can't. That ain't no joke. It's getting floated around. You
ridiculous.
Know,
ridiculous.
That we're gonna go to 50-year mortgages.
Sorry.
So I mean, no, it's. It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. But, you know, I'm sure some people will.
It is hard out there, though. Like, the average home age now for first-time ownership is, like, what, 40?
Look, that's a systemic, you know, issue. It's hard to buy a house.
Yep.
And I was very lucky that it was one of the things that, like, I was just like, hey, let me just get in a house. Let me just own a house. And I was lucky that I got in a great time. Interest rates were low. Equity went up. I know that everybody doesn't have the same luck. So, but you know, I mean, dude, y'all's parents, my parents were buying homes when the damn interest rates were like 8-9%. Like yeah. that was every day, you know.
But so, they bought it for $7,000 though.
That is true.
My parents, this is no S. My parents bought their first home together married in 1970 for $70,000. They sold that home in 1997 for $70,000.
Wow.
7 to 70.
That is
an amazing story of the American dream right there.
Bro. I mean, bro, but like you can bet.
Oh, yo, you weren't kidding that the home was actually $7,000.
That's 1970 though.
Okay.
1970.
But I'm assuming though that
55 years
they
ago
they way outpaced the rate of inflation from 1970 whatever to 1997.
Yes.
Going from 7,000 to
70,000. Tenfold there. Exactly.
Yeah, I would assume that it had not gone up 1,000%. So, that's insane.
You once sold a Focus for 10,000, right?
I did. It was a Taurus.
A Taurus.
Yeah. Okay. 13. Trade-in 13.
For more than that home.
13.5.
Barely.
Almost double. Almost double what my parents bought their first home for.
This was a Taurus.
You can live in a Taurus if you need to.
I kind of did a couple of nights, man.
I mean, you treated it like a house in terms of how
that car.
You didn't want to let it go.
Now, you can't have your kid driving a Taurus, it turns out, because they're too big. Two blind spots and too big for teenagers.
So you don't have that Taurus anymore?
No, my kid has a Mini because these school parking lots, and I better be very careful because I don't want to jinx the gods. He's not been in an accident. He doesn't like most kids in there like have been driving for a year or two. Have had a like knock on wood, not so far.
Oh yeah. Oh hell yeah. I had two accidents in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When in the 1997 Altima, I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Bro, like having a teenager, that's the next evolution for you. You're going to have three of them, John.
God willing. I only have none right now. But once they become teenagers, I will be turning over all parental duties to my wife. She will be handling that. My job will be done.
To bring this full circle, by the way, before you get on 92.9 here, I wanted to give a shout out to Chris. I saw a video yesterday of CJ balling the hell out. He has got bounce and he's grown.
Yeah, listen.
That is I'm like, whoa. I showed my wife, I'm like, look at Chris.
We have a strategy.
I appreciate that, bro.
We have a philosophy.
So shouts to Chris.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, no question about it. But CJ's got a lot of work to do. He
looks good. Looks good on a basketball floor. He's tall.
He hasn't,
can handle it.
He hasn't been in the gym as much as we'd like. He's back now. We like that. He's back on the grind. We got more to do. We got more to do.
Always.
There's always more to
keeps
do.
Keeps that carrot out there.
It's a good start. Well,
that's
but
what you want an
it's
uncle
just
to
a
do.
Start.
But Jake and I saw him a year ago at ECS, and then we both saw the video this week. I mean, the progress is very good, John.
No, I will say
appreciate
this.
Appreciate that,
bro. I will say this. I do give it. I'm fair. I distribute it fairly. I did congratulate him on his start on Instagram last night.
I appreciate
that. I said, good win tonight, young fella.
Yeah.
I know when it's game day.
Shouts to Chris.
Not just because I work with you, but he posts on Instagram this damn picture of a rabbit with a clock every day. It's like a meme. It's like a, your son is online.
He's a bowler.
I mean, that's
he taught me about the 6'7".
Yep.
Oh.
Did you see the Auburn women's game and what those kids did?
Yes.
Yes.
When it hit 67?
God.
I'm now behind it.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It unites
kids. It's kind of fun.
It's brain rot.
It unites all kids.
That's exactly
I'm
right.
fine with it. At first, I was against it. You guys were playing with me. I didn't want any part of it.
You're right.
I apologize for that because it seems positive.
Yeah.
I think it's
kids
fun.
Kids love it.
Yeah,
And it crosses all walks of kids. I mean, it's diverse.
It really does.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.